Okay, hello, welcome to the show. 10/15/2013 on a Tuesday night for the discussion group. We're glad to have a record-breaking night with plenty of callers in, a lot of good friends. We've been chatting a little bit before the show started. I'd like to give the main disclaimer before we get started. I'm Eric Watson, or Herbie, as most people call me. Before we start, I do need to remind everyone that this is a peer support group. None of us are medical or mental health professionals. Now, with that, we're going to get down to speaking about some real good talk tonight. I know it's going to help everybody here. So, Bruce, if you don't mind, go ahead and open up about memes with the summary there for us, buddy.
Well, the topic of tonight's discussion in the TMS reading group is Chapter 9 of Steve Ozanich's The Great Pain Deception, which came out in 2011, and it's entitled, What Did You Meme By That? And that's the opening section of the chapter, pages 152 to 153. And the initial subtitle is Memetics is Social Contagion. And Steve says that piggybacking on the concept of both Jung's archetypes and Darwin's gene replication theory, of course, modified by Bruce Lipton, I would assume, is the theory of memetics, first introduced by Richard Dawkins in his 1976 book, The Selfish Gene. This theory proposes that the meme, it rhymes with dream, like Steve emphasizes, is an idea or way of thinking or believing about the world that is passed from person to person, society to society, and generation to generation. A meme replicates information by imitation using language of words, sounds, or other symbols. And to summarize, this process works, according to Steve, by the law of attraction, Darwinian survival instincts, and a term that he's coined called transcodification, stemming from separation anxiety that we all feel from the time we're born, really. I was immediately struck by what memes are in society at large. This is my two bits worth. I noticed that there's that song by ELO, Can't Get It Out of My Head, where I see musicians developing hooks that are for transferring memes, catchy little tunes that keep repeating in your head and take on a larger meaning in the society. And I also thought of, I went and watched Leni Riefenstahl's Nazi propaganda film, The Triumph of the Will, where the speeches on the podium there in Nuremberg are drowned out by horns, these insistent horns that are like a beat, a rhythm. And you don't need to know what the speech is that the speaker is giving. You get the message from the drama, from the repeated, the repetition of the pulse of the horns. And what it is not only German revival, but aggression. That's what's implicit in the whole film. So that's a way a meme is being transferred. I also thought of Eric Auerbach's Mimesis, which is a famous book on representation in Western culture, where he shows how the Hebrew and the Hellenic, the classical, merge in the Christian humanist tradition in the Renaissance, and how things are represented in Renaissance art are not realistic. They're realistic because realism is a convention. Hence, you start to see the meme rearing its ugly head. And There are a couple of examples that Steve gives of meme transmission, I think on page 155. Steve says, I became acquainted with a sweet and gentle lady named Jessica who was having terrible hand pain, so much so that she was beginning to use her feet to dial phone numbers and to change the channels on her TV remote. Kind of a funny image when you think about it. Her mother walked by and saw her struggling to use her feet in these ways and warned Jessica, I hope that doesn't spread to your feet. The next day, the pain spread to her feet. She had been memed by mother and began a long battle with foot pain. And then in, he has another section, Steve has another section called Memeing Along, Singing a Song, Side by Side. He says, in the TMS book, Rapid Recovery from Back and Neck Pain by Fred Amir, Fred writes, my family doctor examined my elbows and asked, do your hands feel numb at night? I answered, no, not yet. But the way things have been going, that may be next. And sure enough, a couple of nights later, I began to have problems with my forearm and hands becoming numb and waking me up in the middle of the night. It's this process of transmission and from the pronouncements people make, especially physicians. Steve calls the physician a physician hypnotist who passes on the easiest mechanistic explanation for TMS pain, and that in effect perpetuates it, perpetuates the physical symptoms. I think he talks about a, who is that? Dr. Nock, the quack who panders to the needs of the patient to have physical explanations for essentially pain symptoms that are essentially emotional problems. And yes, Steve says that memes modify behavior sometimes based on false premises. Germane to the topic of this.
It says he actually helps them turn their psychic problems into physical ones. Here on Adolf Guggenbaum.
Yeah, that guy, right? The Swiss.
Yeah, he was right after Dr. Nock.
Yeah, yeah.
And that stood out to me, Bruce, how he actually helps the patients turn their psychic problems into physical ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, he turned it around, making it go the wrong way.
When I read that in the book, you know, it kind of stood out to me, and I was like, whoa. You know, I mean, all these years, you know, leading up to learning TMS therapy, I was thinking, I've always trusted the docs when they would say something to me. Now, you know, and then there was another section in the book, brother, where he would come in and say, you know, for years the docs would come in and say something to you. And with a meme, you know, when he tells you that you're okay, you go home and you get better. And then he said it's like TMS in that order. And I know what Steve meant by that. But one of my questions would be, it's not even a question. It's just sort of a, you know, an extension of it, is that, you know, to a certain age to where like the overflow, too much tension, too much stress, too much of all this just finally added up in our life. And then we go to the doctor and he says, you know, there's really no big deal there. Really, everything's okay. Really, you're all right. And then you go home and you don't get no better, you know? And that's the part that kind of separates us from the meme. But at the same time, it's actually the same thing, because the meme can carry on even from childhood all the way to adulthood and whatever it might be. So I really love this chapter in that essence, that the meme is just exactly the same thing as TMS, is it not? I mean, in the essence that if you compare the two side by side, and we taking on this belief system that, you know, when it gets cold outside, my bones are going to hurt, or when it gets cold outside, my nose is going to run, or in other words, maybe not my nose is running, but I'm cold. Everybody around me else has got the flu. I'm going to get it, and then you get it. So is
Well,
that not the mind creating?
I think Steve says that one meme is the idea that when it gets cold, that's going to give you a respiratory infection.
That
And
kind of
it's
how ain't that how TMS, starts the boiler, so to say? Ain't that how we start grabbing a hold of this, like even when you was young, it might not bother you too much, but that you was taking on all these memes all through those years, and then as you got older, next thing you know, you're in a nervous jerk, you have anxiety, you have fatigue, you're hurting in your feet, your back's hurting, your neck's hurting, and it's 'cause you worrying about, what everybody else is going through and saying, and then you go over to your sister's and she's got a headache. Next thing you know, you got a headache 30 minutes later. You see the point I'm getting to? I mean,
It's
it's like everybody's
incremental.
unaware of this, and this is like the most aware chapter that we need to be aware of. I know I'm using that word awareness a lot, but the secret to this is to become aware of it, correct?
Exactly.
Aware of
This
how pervasive it
shenaniganness.
is, how when you are under a great deal of stress, it's very easy to latch on to false information and reach the conclusion biologically that you're going to have symptoms.
Yeah, I would have totally agree when you're in a weakened state. Yeah. Because
Yeah,
when
and
you.
when do weakened states occur? When there's a crisis in your life,
Oh,
when you have
yeah.
that level of, when there's a rising level of existential anxiety, like Dr. Zafiridis talks about, at those crisis points, that's when you start worrying about what's it all about. What does this mean? And you start getting anxiety and worrying about the future too at those times of crisis
Yeah.
when the pattern is broken and you need a new pattern. It's very easy to latch on to something right then.
Enjoy. Didn't you have something about the positive memes? Could you talk about some of that?
Well, I'm just thinking that there's got to be a spread of positive ideas too. It can't all be negative. And I'm also thinking that if you're assailed by a negative meme, you might be able to counter it with a positive one. For example, if you think to yourself, or your doctor says, or your mom says, "I hope it doesn't spread to your hands." You can think that one through and think, well, that doesn't make any sense, and so you can counter it with the notion that no, it doesn't have to spread to my hands. That's silly. That's not going to do that. That's ridiculous. You
Would
know,
you
that's
agree?
EMS.
Would you agree that awareness of this will really help you in these times? Even if it's
I think awareness is absolutely everything. I think
no.
awareness is
There you
what we
go.
need. We need to examine every one of our the ideals that come into our brain and decide for ourselves whether or not we're going to let that rule.
Well,
Who's
that's why
running this
also.
show, you know?
Carl, there you go. Taking control of that brain for a change. That's what it's all about.
That's like Dr. Sarno's primary thesis, that knowledge is the cure.
Yes.
When
There you
you're
go.
aware of what's going on, you can stand outside of it and not get suckered into it. Same goes for propaganda too.
Oh, believe me, with what's been
It's
going on with
true
the
in
government,
propaganda.
could you believe the memes that are falling into people's minds? The
Oh,
different
yeah.
thought patterns with the government shutdown. Can you believe what people are thinking in their minds? What could happen?
Well, you can see when the Depression hit Germany, how easy it was for somebody to come along with a positive message of accomplishment and aggression and sell it. When the public is really in that hysterical mode, this doesn't just happen privately on an individual basis, it happens collectively throughout a society. We start touching on these other subjects when we move beyond TMS symptoms because, well, it's the mind. I mean, it's a big thing. private
Absolutely.
Minds.
And it seems like there can be some positive memes. I think any idea which spreads from person to person can be a meme, so that if I learn from someone else about TMS, and that's how I learned about TMS, then TMS itself, the idea of TMS healing, is a meme. So I guess what we have to
that's
do is we just have to make sure that the positive memes outweigh the negative ones.
Somebody said that's me.
Very understandable.
Somebody said that's me. Who said that?
I just said that was very understandable what Forrest said. I agree with that.
Yeah. Did anybody else want to say anything on what Forrest just said? Okay. Bruce, what was you saying, buddy?
Well, it's out there in the media, it's a world of competing memes. You know, buy that record, buy that CD, listen to this show. the world is full of it. I just thought that one thing that Steve said, in back, hand, and foot pain are currently fashionable, in vogue.
RSI too, right?
Talks an awful lot like Edward Shorter in From Paralysis to Fatigue, a book that Forrest put me onto that I didn't finish, but I got the gist of. So I'm glad I read it, because Steve says mind-body disorders change from generation to generation and society to society. The need to be connected is universal and everlasting. That seems to be one of the things that drives this is transcortification, at least according to Steve O.
And the transcortification is relationship, right?
Yeah, right.
It's becoming whole again in relationship.
Yeah, somebody's selling national unity, the National Unity Party, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is selling that kind of a meme to the masses. And when that need is not met, need for transcortification, the mind turns to the body and away from personal anguish of separation. When the mind turns its focus is determined by the new popular disorders. Where the mind turns its focus, I didn't copy it right. And Steve is saying that today it's postural muscles, i.e. the lower back. And your butt with sciatica. And he mentions that ulcers were once popular earlier. And he gives the example that he learned from Mark Sofer about Larry Bird having operations for bone spurs on his heels. And pretty soon, foot pain came into vogue. And now there's a whole branch of medicine devoted to that particular disorder. I saw a guy down at SOAR, at Stanford Orthopedic Rehabilitation Services, I believe, in Palo Alto. And he specializes in that exclusively. He is their footman. And so 25 years ago, you never heard about bad feet. You got blisters on your feet, or you got a corn on your foot, toe, but you never heard about these long, lingering bouts of foot pain that go on for years and years with
bone
no resolution.
Spurs and plantar fasciitis.
That's
crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And he talked about it starting with Larry Bird. I remember that. That was a powerful, powerful image.
Yeah. Go ahead, Forrest.
Well, I also wanted to say, Enjoy had something she wanted to say in the chat room, so I thought I'd relay that to you, Herbie.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking that Bruce would probably get to the point where Steve talks about Jill Bolt Taylor, who's a brain scientist who had a massive, massive stroke. That cut out the whole left side of her brain, and she was just left with her right brain, basically. And being a brain scientist, she decided not to go with it into what she called nirvana, And she decided to fight her way back so that she could tell most of us about this other side of reality. And it's an absolutely fascinating book, and I don't know how it fits into all this stuff. But there's two very distinct sides of us, and one of them is just very practical, and the other side is connected to the whole universe. And
yeah,
she's very, very convincing. I would. What's that?
Yeah, the proof of shared consciousness. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, enjoy. I'm sorry. I really enjoyed this part. Please go ahead. You're doing so great.
Well, I don't really have much else to say. It's just that Steve brought it up in the chapter, and I thought, oh, yeah, I just wanted to say something to encourage anybody who's interested in how our brains affect our perception of reality to consider reading that book or going to TED.com and listening to her talk. She has a wonderful talk on TED about her stroke of insight. And she's brilliant. This is years and years and years later, and she has never returned to the left brain driven individual that she was, even though she's gotten back most of the use of that side of her brain. And it just made me realize that we can be too analytical, and we really have to use both sides of what the universe has given us to work with. So that's all I've got to say. Thanks.
Yeah. Wasn't it like she was being one with she could see all the positive energy around her, and she was like just one with it. She could actually see everything, and then we was all just connected, right?
I mean, yeah. Exactly. And she said it was really,
to me, she was,
it was really hard to make vision come back.
Okay, go ahead, enjoy, and then I want to hear what Jay says.
Yeah, she said it was really hard to make the decision to come back to the practical, try and rebuild that left side of her brain and become a practical person again. But she said it would have been so much easier to just let go and be part of the universe and be full of joy. And I thought that was really interesting. What a gift.
It's true. It's proof of it.
This is one of the classic arguments between Hinayana and Mahayana Buddhism, because Hinayana Buddhism says that you should get into nirvana, into that right brain state, and stay there as an enlightened being, whereas Mahayana Buddhism says that's all right. You can get this enlightenment and you can enter nirvana, but there's a moral imperative here that you have to go back and integrate, we would say, with the left brain in order to help other people who need to get this knowledge.
I'd agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
what was you going to say, Jay?
Mahayana is the greater vehicle, and it's considered the more sophisticated of the...
Yeah, like man and God, you know.
Yeah, like you have to become a bodhisattva. You have to become Jesus Christ, the one who moves between both sides.
Yeah, you walk with that power.
Between the right and the left brain.
You walk with that power, that total control. And that's what we have. Yes, we do. Exactly. We've been told that through the Bible. We've been told that through so many different philosophies. And he keeps saying it. He keeps saying you got the power. He keeps saying, you know, you got it. And you know, we have to let it dwell on our heads. And now there's scientific proof. So that's the awesomeness of what we're talking about right now. Jay, what was you going to hit on, buddy?
Well, all I was doing is just agreeing with her about...
Enjoy?
You know, the left brain, right brain stuff, the universal stuff. What that told me is just she's describing the power of the brain as it is connected with the cosmos, the universe, and everything else. You know, and you're talking about, well, we throw a little bit of religion in there, and I can appreciate that. Because
well,
know,
we ain't preaching,
body,
though, so that's so no, we just we're keeping it all psychological.
that's right, but you know it's okay because it's all mind-body connection stuff. There's a book entitled "Sermon on the Mount" by Emmett Fox, and And he was just a modified thinker. Yeah, it's a doggone good book, and just it goes right along with many things Dr. Sarno said. You know,
very
just,
powerful.
And she talked about the Bible as a man thinketh. You know, so is our words, and like the four agreements, be impeccable with your words. Words just being an extension of the thoughts, because it's the thoughts that matter, that they go out like a boomerang and they come right back to you. And
exactly.
I'll just say it this way. I think the philosopher Jesus back 2,000 years ago was a modern day thinker 2,000 years ahead of his time. And he knew how this cosmic world and universe worked according to our mind patterns and the way we think about things and what we think.
You know, and what made me think about it was he would look down at somebody, Jay, and he would say, "Do you think you can walk?" And they've been sitting there maybe 20 years, and they said, "Yeah, I think I can walk." He just reached down and jerked him right up. I know Peter did that. And he just reached down and jerked the guy right up, and the guy started walking. And I'm thinking, that guy could have had TMS the whole time, not even thinking, you know, that he could walk. But anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, it's like
very powerful.
Steve's – what's interested me was very interesting to me was that Steve said that certain types of cancer – are really type 4 TMS, which is the calm, they occur during the calm after the storm when someone has put themselves through a whole lot of stress for a long period of time, and then the consequences, then there's the debt to pay. And that's not modern Western medicine, that's Steve. But it has the ring of truth from my own personal experience, and I imagine the experience of lots of people who are listening out there tonight. You can identify that kind of pattern.
Bruce. Mine too.
Dr. Sarno actually weighs in on this. I was just looking at the divided mind. He divides psychosomatic disorders into two categories, those that are directly created by unconscious emotions like TMS and some other things, and those diseases in which unconscious emotions may play a role in causation but are not the only factor. These include autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, certain cardiovascular conditions, and cancer. So I thought that was interesting to hear, to read what Dr. Sarno had to say that.
Dr. Gabor Mate says that almost every one of the cases of AI that he examines in When the Body Says No, occurred in a person with an emotionally repressive coping style.
And I think you're going to want to explain what AI is?
AI, autoimmune disorders like rheumatoid arthritis, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and ultimately cancer too. It's a disease of autoimmunity because the white cells aren't getting in there and getting rid of the malignancy.
What about the doctors, guys? I'm going to change just a little bit here. What about the doctors? He's got one section on page 153. He says, many revered doctors have written in the past about observing people getting disorders after they thought that they had been exposed to something when they had not. Have you ever been around people and then, you know, everybody else is getting sick and then all of a sudden you start getting sick, but then when you go to the doctor, come find out you wasn't getting sick? I mean, you wasn't sick, you hadn't caught the flu or anything like everybody else had, and then all of a sudden you're healed?
Yeah, I wonder how
soon. Say that again?
Well, the doctors, you know, it says many revered doctors have written in the past about observing people getting disorders after they thought they had been exposed to something when they had not. So in other words, that brought straight to my mind, you know, where other people around you could be like getting colds, flus or whatever, and then all of a sudden you start getting the same symptoms. You start thinking you got the cold, the flu or whatever, and then you go get checked out, you didn't have the cold or flu. So you know, have you ever been through that, Forrest?
The classic thing, well, I've heard about a million times, students, when they go to med school, they get this thing called med student disease. And every single disease in the book, it seems like someone, they start thinking that they got it and they get all these symptoms. And I mean, usually they don't get it, but it certainly it has this strong mind-body effect going on at the same time.
I think Steve says...
It's Walt breaking in. Hi.
Hey, Walt.
Hi. I've been listening for about a half hour. Yeah, that's very interesting about the med students. I don't have a personal experience in that, but that to me is it's very interesting and very funny. How the mind is susceptible to influence from other people.
Yeah, well, some med students just get symptoms, but some med students, when they read Merck, the Merck book, actually get the disease. Now that, yeah.
That's a mystery.
Yeah, that's a mysterious mind-body overlay there.
Yeah.
Whether the anxiety sets them up for catching it,
yeah.
Or whether having the symptoms makes it easier for the disease to, the virus yeah. or the bacteria to come on, I'm not sure.
Well, one of my best friends is a doctor, and years ago, when he was still in medical school at Marquette University in Milwaukee, I came up from Chicago and visited him at New Year's. And he had a bunch of his fellow doctor friends and their girlfriends over, wives. And we played charades. And I was amazed at how little any of them knew about anything. They had no general knowledge. So maybe they're susceptible to suggestion.
Well, on page 165, Steve chronicles this example from Dr. Jampolsky in his book, Love is Letting Go of Fear. When I was in medical school, writes Dr. Jampolsky, a surprising percentage of the class came down with whatever disease was being discussed. It made no difference what the disease was. It could have been hepatitis, schizophrenia,
That's
or syphilis.
Hilarious.
And then Steve says, Dr. Jampolsky wrote to me that the students normally took on the symptoms of the disease, not always the actual disease, although on occasion he had seen people fear themselves into the actual disease. He informed me that the students' symptoms were temporary, in his opinion, caused by the fear of getting the disease. In other words, fear is the anxiety in this case.
That's also
yeah, and how often are we being bombarded with memes in the media designed to generate fear of negative
yeah,
outcomes?
Yeah. Well, we watch, you know, while we're watching a show, it'll be interrupted by a commercial for some stupid product that tells us about a disease or an illness that we don't have. And I don't figure I'm getting that. I just think it's more advertising bullshit.
Absolutely.
But I wonder how many people really start to think, hey, maybe I've got that. And, you know, the pharmaceutical companies want us to think that way, so we buy their drug.
I didn't think they were allowed to do that until recently. Advertising diseases into existence.
Well, I don't know if they're actually... Well, just by them mentioning, you know, do you have it? Maybe you've got it. Talk to your doctor.
Talk
but if you do, get this product. I posted something today about that, an article I read about that.
Okay.
Because I thought it was...
Go ahead, Walt.
Go ahead. Well, I just thought it was worth sharing with people that we're bombarded with this. You know, they're either trying to sell us a new car or some drug.
And it's all coming from all different directions. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they're spending billions of dollars on the advertising and the products.
Well, and that's almost like another type of meme where, you know, they're trying to put these ideas into your head. They're trying to infect you with the desire to buy those products.
Subliminally, that may be what they're doing. because I don't get paranoid about it, but I think that advertising is so much mind control and subliminal mind control. For all we know, they might even be flashing on the screen something that's telling us, you may have this problem.
Well, and what we're learning is that a lot of this medicine is also subliminal mind control. That you go and you talk to the doctor, and the doctor is talking to you about, you know, oh, are your wrists falling asleep? When you do they get numb when you sleep? You know, are you? And little do they know that they are infecting you with this idea virus called a meme. And all of a sudden,
it's kind of hypnosis.
Yeah, it's and all of a sudden you've got a disease.
Don't he talk about Forrest about this? That people go to the doctor and the doctor has to make a choice because some people actually want, you know, the quicker fix, and sitting there hearing, you know, that, well, you can go down this line and start living this way, and it can change you in, you know, whatever.
He talked about, some people, they just want, cut it out of me, they say. You know, just cut open my back, it's fine. Just give me the chemo, it's fine. I don't want to have to do the hard work that comes with looking in the eye.
We've all seen movies where some society woman will go to her doctor and have no illness or problem at all, but they want to hear that they do have one for attention.
You know.
Yeah, if I could.
Go ahead, brother.
I play tennis with a lot of doctors, and I've learned that their line calls aren't really more accurate than anyone else's for the most part. I remember I play with a retired gynecologist, and he mentioned to me early on in his practice that he dealt with a lot of society ladies back east in New England, and they would come to him, and he would say, well, look, what you have, let's give it some time and see how it goes. And I said, no, doctor, I want surgery. I want surgery now. And what happened was that his secretary said, look, doctor, all these ladies who want surgery are not calling back. They're going to other gynecologists who are giving them what they want, their surgery. And so he learned that in order to stay in business, pay his rent, pay his office, he started giving in to them and prescribing surgery for them. So he's giving them what they wanted. Otherwise, he'd be out of business, bankrupt.
I can remember from Edward Shorter where, hysterectomies became all the fad in the late 19th century, where they were giving hysterectomies to any young lady who started acting up and being rebellious against her parents. And pretty soon, they were doing it everywhere. It became a regular standard operation.
Well, there was big money in it.
Yeah.
There was money in it.
Guys, could you imagine the memes that are thrown at the women, for instance? I mean, every day I see probably, when I'm watching TV on my days off, okay? I see probably at least 30 commercials, you know, aimed at women. You know, you need this, you need that. This is going to be great for you. That's going to be great for you. And then I might see one or two commercials for men, you know? But there's a lot of stuff that's aimed at women, you know, especially as they, you know, grow older or even while they're young and athletic. And I was wanting to ask Enjoy or Katie or Panda Girl, have they ever been a victim of some of those instances to where you picked up a program or something, you picked up something that you thought was going to help you because you've heard so much about it, all the rave. And then when you got it, it was like, blah, this is nothing.
Yeah.
What do you think? Enjoy?
I'm not sure what you're saying. You picked up a program, you said?
Well, it doesn't have to be a program, but just a thought. You know, like you're watching TV and you see all these things, and they come out with all these, you know, if you got this, it's going to make you feel better. If you use this, you know, form of moisturizer, it's going to help you look better. If you do so and so, everything's going to get better. Have you ever spent money on stuff like that and then come to find out that it was no better? Like for the moisturizer, for instance, it was no better than a moisturizer you already had. I mean, have you ever been suckered in? To
sure
the home shop
network.
The home shop network is what I'm hitting.
Yeah.
Could that not be like America's biggest meme right there? Because they will get on there and sell you anything, you know, and make you believe it.
Yeah.
Is that not true, though?
Yeah. Well, I think
look
we're
at
all
Bruce
susceptible
smiling.
To
I know
that,
Bruce
or
fell for
be
too.
In the advertising, would there?
Yeah, that's all in
say
one.
Say that again.
The guy's selling
one thing I think that is everything.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, something I think that is more serious. What I'm seeing is breast cancer. There's all this publicity about breast cancer. The county where I live in Marin has a high incidence of breast cancer, and they're trying to figure out why is this. Well, one reason is that there's more examinations here. They're looking for it more. There are more nonprofit events highlighting it. And personally, I think we get a lot of cancers generally that we don't know about, and that our immune system fights off, and they're gone. But if you're always looking for something, eventually you're going to find something. And I think the current one for women is the breast cancer. I dare say craze, but I think it is a breast cancer craze. And from what I understand, there's more money spent on figuring out what to do about it than any other disease. And, you know, it is just a meme. I don't want to belittle it, but I think that's what's being perpetrated on women today.
That's what Steve says on page 164. He says, Dr. Bruce Lipton stated, the cancer gene expresses only when it is told to due to deep beliefs, unresolved conflict, and perceptions of the environment. There is no evidence to support that proactive screening and early detection of cancer has saved any lives at all. It makes sense to us collectively, so we accept it as true. But the irony is that looking sooner for cancer may only be pulling the disorder unconsciously towards self, lodging the notion of cancer deep into the subconscious. It could be the realization of the law of attraction. That's one thing that Steve says in this book that's goes
that
against the medical establishment very much. This is a hot topic. And I know that Kaiser Permanente here in California, for example, is just hot for testing. They're creating this huge database by having people come in and again and again to these blood pressure monitor stations. And invariably, they're dosing people with high blood pressure medicine, and they're probably creating high blood pressure with all of the drama associated with getting these emails and postcards and having hordes of people going through those lines again and again. That's my thought.
The anxiety which they create in all of this is awful, and the health anxiety. It's I think one of the biggest lessons from TMS is that we just need to get out there and live our lives and enjoy it, and the whole point of the TMS is to get you to focus on the body. But I think it is a good thing for us to bring it back to TMS, because you know that's what we have experience with. That's where that's really what it's about. I thought, first, I'd love to hear what Enjoy said, because I don't know if I heard the last
thing
said.
Yeah, I didn't hear either, Bruce.
I didn't hear either.
Enjoy was saying something just a minute ago, and I know it was interesting. Can you remember what you were saying a few minutes ago, Enjoy?
No, I actually can't.
I think we were talking about women's products, but you... I think you were saying that it's aimed as much as at men, too.
Well, the thing is that I don't think any one group is more susceptible to memes than any other group.
Not even with the home shopping network?
Well, there's
not even with the home shop.
Okay.
I want to tell you about a meme that I'm susceptible to.
Steve O makes a really, oh no, it wasn't him, it was a guy named Marsden, and I made a little note of it because it was very interesting that Steve O quotes, and he says, just hang on, just let me find it here. He says, sorry about this. We have an evolved predisposition to replicating the behavior of those around us. Mm-hmm. We have an evolved predisposition to replicating the behavior of those around us. Because we need to be connected. We need that. It's a very important part of our reality.
The problem comes
in. It's just that if we don't get through, if we don't examine our memes, then we accept things that are actually not true. But the meme itself is a real gift. It makes us, the human race, what it is.
Makes us complete, huh? If we accept good memes. Forrest, what was you going to say on your meme?
Oh, well, first I want to say I thought, and Joy, that was a great articulation of how Steve-O connects memes to trichordification. I mean, the reason that we're susceptible to memes and the reason that we get our TMS in the way that we do is that we're trying to draw ourselves closer to other people by having the same illness that they have. I thought that was an interesting thought. But I just wanted to share,
Misery loves company.
That's how I can get my misery. And that's what Bruce talked about Edward Shorter earlier on, and the name of Edward Shorter's book is From Paralysis to Fatigue. And that's it. So Edward Shorter is a historian, and he's looking at how psychosomatic illnesses, i.e. TMS, manifest themselves. Like, what symptom does your unconscious choose? And back in the 1800s, it would choose paralysis. That was the day of Freud. And when Freud was studying, those who've read a little bit of Freud, may recognize the discussion of hysteria. Freud treated hysteria, and hysteria often manifested itself through paralysis or through other strange symptoms like paralysis. People would come in and half of their body would be paralyzed, and it was just a TMS equivalent. Dr. Shorter, Edward Shorter, explains this, and then he follows it up through time. And talks about how we've gone from that paralysis to fatigue. And now the new meme that is in vogue is fatigue. We're talking about chronic fatigue syndrome. We're talking about fibromyalgia, which also has a substantial fatigue component, and all of these other TMS equivalents that people are getting. But I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Does anybody else want to go ahead for us?
No, you can.
Does anybody else want to give an example of a meme that might have happened in their life?
Go ahead.
This
was an interesting case a year or two ago. It was on the news carried nationally. There are some high school girls who all came down with Tourette's syndrome. And I immediately said, this is TMS. Because Tourette's is fairly rare, and if you know what it is, that's where people cannot control.
Was this in the news, Tom?
It was in the news within the last several years.
Yeah.
And I immediately said, they all went to the same school, they all knew each other, they were friends. And Tourette's, if you don't know, it's where you cannot control. You have outbursts of like cursing and shaking, and it's a pretty rare thing. And then all of a sudden, all these girls who knew each other all got Tourette's. And I said, I think that's a great example of a meme and TMS and how, very unusual type of manifestation. Yeah. So Tourette's, that was pretty unusual.
And I think Tourette's is caused by overproduction or malproduction or dysfunctional production of adrenaline, epinephrine, norepinephrine. It would cause that. Yes, very definitely would certainly be a TMS equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
I did notice that before I had my first episode of TMS, when after my mother died in 2001, I didn't think about it until I started studying. And it occurred to me the other day that there was a handyman around the house who described to me how every time he played soccer, he got really emotionally worked up playing aggressively, he'd be struck by pain in his back and just floored. And he had to be carried off the field. I'd never heard of such a thing before. And this was almost exactly the same time that my sciatica started to develop. I wasn't aware of that process. I didn't put my finger on it. But that's where the idea was introduced into my mind of those kind of symptoms, which I'd never even considered before. So somebody can be around you in the environment and pass on a meme the way that girl's mother did with her feet.
Well, I can tell you exactly that happened to me in one classic way. As a kid and an early adult, young adult, late teens and all, I never had any problems sleeping, whatever. I could sleep in a bed in the house, or I could sleep under the house or in an old barn anywhere, like a dead log, you know. And I started college, and my roommate was a very nervous, neurotic type of, I don't know what all he was. I didn't understand all that then, but he was very nervous. He had insomnia real bad. And I'd be damned if the next thing I learned about that, didn't even know any such thing about it, and then I developed it. And for years, I finally overcame it, but for years, it was just an absolute bitch in my life. I had never had any of that until I met him.
Wow, yeah.
It's catching.
Okay, so we here are TMS savvy. How can we tell the world? What do you tell the world so this all stops? I mean, I think when we get something, we now are kind of an alert. We have a knowledge sense saying, stop, wait, is this real or is this TMS or is it Memorex? Whatever,
exactly.
But the rest of the world, the vast majority, will it? Does it need it? As Dr. Sarno says, people need TMS for protection as a defense mechanism against dealing with the truth of their existence, of their reality, of their relationships, of their emotional life. That is there any hope for the world to ever overcome this? What is the means for the rest of the world to find out about it?
It would be awareness, yeah. Mindfulness, meditations, loving yourself again, learning not to fear, stop focusing on the body. Go on and on and on. But I believe the main ones would be acceptance and awareness. Wouldn't you agree, guys?
Yes.
Yeah, but how does the world find out about Dr. Sarno's knowledge, penicillin?
We have to go knock them over the head and make them listen to us.
No, we're doing our best.
We're really reaching out there with people like you, Tom. It's got Wisdom, Jay. I mean, I'm looking over here to the left. We have got so many people on this phone right now, so full of wisdom. Enjoy, Bruce. Stock Trader's got this awesome saying. I want to repeat it, what Stock Trader said, and I think it's great for the show tonight. If they guys, so many of us here has got so much to say about that. That's a good question there, Tom. That's a really good question. He says, and I'm going to get right back to it in just a minute, Tom. He says, what you believe is what you get. Your thoughts create your reality. If you believe that you're strong and healthy, then this will be your future reality. And I like the way he said this will be your future reality, because everything we practice for today, Tom, we know, you know, that we're doing it for a future outcome, right? Anyway, he says, then this will be your future reality, which your subconscious mind will eventually accept within time, patience, and confidence. You practice every day and all day by repeating positive thoughts over and over until you heal. That's a style of I would assume awareness, you know, meditation, affirmations, even visualizations, as Steve brings up in his books, imaging, you know, and seeing the body as being better, as we do talk about the body and healing mostly. So getting right back to the body and healing, I've done all that. I've studied all the meditation and the awareness, doing the imaging, the visualization, where I could see my body strong. I would see myself exercising before I went out there, and I'd see everybody around me tired. And then when I get to the gym, I'd start exercising, and I would have a good workout. And for sometimes people around me would be looking tired, just like I imagined in my mind, you know. But it would give me strength to get motivated and get moving, and to believe in what I'm fixing to do. There's so many different ways we can do this, but is that not a powerful saying? He said, what you believe is what you get. Your thoughts create your reality. If you believe that you're strong and healthy, then this will be your future reality with your subconscious mind, which your subconscious mind will eventually accept within time, patience, and confidence. You practice every day and all day by repeating positive thoughts over and over until you heal. I did that on I've done that several times on the way to the emergency room when I was doing that. I think a lot of us might be doing that on the way to the emergency room. I'm not sure, but it's pretty powerful. But what Tom was talking about, you know, with all of us on here and all the wisdom we got, if you could sum it up into, I guess this is what Tom meant, if you could sum it up into a few words so that we wouldn't be tricked by memes as much, I think they'll always get in somehow, unconsciously or whatever. But if we're not going to be tricked by memes as much, then what's, you know, maybe the some of the steps that we can do that can keep us away from being trapped or being caught up in this trickery of these memes? Well, Forrest, Jay, Bruce, enjoy.
Yeah, well, Eric, what I was talking about was not so much us, since we are aware of it. But the rest of the planet, I think until the media, the same people who have, you know, all these commercials for drugs and sell stuff, until Oprah has Steve-O on her show, until Howard Stern has Steve-O. I told Steve-O, you got to get on Howard Stern. And I said, maybe you have to find a stripper or something who's been cured of TMS. Bring her on with you, because that's the only way you get on Howard Stern's show, although Howard Stern is a great devotee of Dr. Sarno. So I don't know about massive media. What happens when the media picks up on TMS and starts saying it's psychosomatic, Freud was right, Dr. Sarno gets the Nobel Prize, all of a sudden the cover of Time is Dr. Sarno, but then what? You know,
well, we all become pioneers. When everything we're working for, everything we're doing, all the guys on here that's going to be healed when that comes around, I hope it happens tomorrow. You know, that'll be a great day, man, because then everybody gets to know the truth, and everybody on here will be pioneers. There'll be, you know, I can just see, you know, 11 o'clock news, everybody coming out to Bruce's house, coming out to your house, going out to Panda Girls, going out to all of our houses, Jay's, and just saying, how'd you do it, man? Could you please tell us how you healed yourself with your mind? Could you do this? Could you tell me the steps? You know, what happened? What was going on? Because I'm over here and I'm going crazy, you know, and then there we are. We're all gurus, and we're, you know, by that time, you know, we done learned so much, you know, like you, Tom, you've been doing this now 13 years. Is it been longer than that?
I don't count.
I know that much. Forrest's been in forever. We all, and it seems like, you know, you can learn so much within 6 months. It seems like you can learn a ton in 3 months because of all the knowledge that's laid out there on like the TMS Wiki and so forth. And this is powerful. That's a powerful question. I would love to see Sarno up, but how many of you would love to see Sarno's truth finally being revealed to the public? Wouldn't that be true grace? Yes. I mean, it would.
But we can figure out all of these, utilize all of these different strategies for healing ourselves. But until the medical establishment is convinced that emotions have real physical results or can affect real changes in the body, you're arguing against a stone wall.
Until you attack those mechanistic assumptions behind,
you have to have some kind of double blind. You have to play their game.
You couldn't just come up with some kind of scientific
evidence-based study, double blind theory studies
that
show that changes in the body are affected by changes in the mind, that emotions have real physical consequences in terms of health and well-being.
All they got to do is get on TMS Wiki for 3 months and say, okay, I'm going to play like I believe, you know, and so they got and just do the program, you know. Because really, it's going to sink in habitually, whether you want it to or not. And I understand you got to believe 100%.
Yeah, but that's like saying you've got to take the trip in order to understand what it is. But you've also, if you're going to convince these medicos, you have to have some kind of hard data that shows.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true, and it's a long process. You know, we're working on gathering evidence. And
well, look how long they've been working with breast cancer. You know, I mean, it's been a long time. So,
Howard Schubner's got a $2 million NIH grant. He's doing a research, a randomized controlled trial right now. You know, it's the slow march forward. Those are the magical words, randomized controlled trial. That's what the doctors look for.
I want to hear if Panda Girl's got anything to say. Go ahead, Forrest.
That's also another wonderful thing is, you know, we've had a bunch of people jumping in today, but I want to make sure that everybody, and Joy was bringing this up in the chat room.
Yeah.
By the way, we do have a chat room going at the same time at tmswiki.org/chat for anyone who wants to join. Is there anyone else who wanted to jump in and say anything? Anyone has been holding their tongue for a while?
Yes,
sounds like everybody's old timers on here. I'm only in this stuff for 6-7 days, huh?
Well, you must have plenty of questions.
I've enjoyed this call, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's good. That's what we're here for, buddy.
Good to hear.
A lot of wise people on here. Yeah.
Hello.
Is that Katie?
Jersey Joan.
Oh, Jersey Joan, how you doing?
How are you? Just a quick question.
Okay.
Shoot.
Hi, Forrest. Does the severity of the pain indicate severe emotional distress?
You know, I've heard different things on that. There are a lot of people who say yes to that, and I think my inclination would be to look that, but I think there's probably some exceptions too. I think Dr. Sarno may even have said something about that the worse the pain is, that often it's the worse pain indicates worse underlying repression. Is there anyone else who can back me up on that?
Well, that is what Dr. Sarno said.
Can I make a comment on that?
I think that's probably, as a generalization, Joan, that's probably quite true. But on the other hand, some of us are really strong and determined people, and I know that if I don't want something to surface, if I've got an unconscious feeling that's trying to get my attention and I don't want to hear from it, I can conjure up some really severe pain. And then when I finally, the day comes when I finally do understand what the message was, it's sometimes something totally trivial. I just didn't want to hear it.
Right. Okay.
Interesting. Yes.
Well, it's the unconscious, a different set of rules about what's important.
It tells me the emotional problem just really doesn't have to be that severe to cause a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Like I told Herbie, when I had an exacerbation here 2 or 3 months ago, I was working out with some light to medium weights. I was going to do a deadlift, and I had just pinched a blood blister on my finger, and I was mad as hell about it. You know how those things hurt for a minute or two, and it just hurts like hell. And right behind it, I just shook it off. I did my deadlift, and I got these muscle spasms. Blam. You know what I mean? That wasn't, of course, any emotional, earth-shaking thing like the loss of a family member or some horrible financial bankruptcy or something. It was just a blood blister. But it did make me really mad at the time, and that was right on the heels of that.
Wow.
Yeah, that child within is really touchy sometimes.
Yes, it is very touchy, isn't it? It's a little monster in there. That id and all those other parts you talk about, I need to learn more about the parts, but I know the little id, I know that little kid's in there. And if you pinch his finger, he goes to screaming like a little maniac. He doesn't like it.
I just had someone in the chat room saying that multitasking and all the pressures of being a mom could be something that keeps the TMS going. Because you have to do so much, you got to play with the kids, make dinner, worry all at the same time. I can see that. So there's something which, you know, is that a big issue or is that a small issue? Well, it sounds like a big issue to me, but maybe to some people it sounds like a small. I think that can definitely cause TMS. I think that's the real deal.
Exactly. You know, and
absolutely.
You know, like some kids, you know, when they're little and the teacher, you know, you're not. You didn't do good enough when you're gray and you can't go outside to, you know, play with the rest of the kids. There, it might seem small. It might not seem nothing. But to that kid, that whole class is laughing at him out there, you know. In his mind, that's what he's thinking, you know. And then as he gets older and older and older, he grows up to it. And I know it's different from what you said about the children. Now let me mention about the children. Hey, man, I've got 21 nephews and nieces. And every one of them come to me, you know, I'm Uncle Herb. So they all come to me and they all want to hang out with me. And every one of them wants to do something different. They all got different personalities. And every one of them's a firecracker. Every one of them's got energy that will last like a hummingbird. So, you know, I think Enjoy was talking about this a few weeks ago. I have to know their personalities. I have to know their strengths. I have to know the right things to say to them. Because if I was to try to ignore one of them for a little while, he or she would take that as, you know, Uncle Herb, you know, just what is he doing?
Sure.
Why is he me like this? Why does he want to do that to me? Because they don't understand, you know. Wow. And
will cause some emotional damage.
Yeah. And so we want to be good to them. We want to go our way, especially, you know, our little children. And we want to make sure that, you know, they get what they need, and especially mothers, you know, because, wow, you know, I couldn't tell you what I'd do without my mom. When I heard the saying before that when a child looks into the mother's eyes, they see God. And, you know, I really believe that with all my heart because, you know, I always stuck beside my mom. I always stayed close with her and I always knew how much she meant to me. You know, other people might have different situations, but moms are a powerful force here in America, and all over the world, as a matter of fact. And just got to give a hand to them. I think they can do a lot more than a man can do any day when it comes to, you know, multitasking with the children and everything, just putting everything together. They get so little acknowledgement for what all they do to help in the world, and they're huge factors in everything they do.
Dr. Mate says that the eyesight between the infant looking into the mother's eyes is part of the brain development process during the first 6 months, and the mother's brain develops and the child's brain develops at the same time. So, okay, that's...
Yeah.
How about if we let Mandy speak? I think she's got something to say. She's on the chat, too.
Okay.
I'm here. I don't know if I have either. I don't know if I have anything to say, actually.
Well, how's your day been, Mandy, since, you know, you got the kids tucked in?
Make something up.
I mean do you feel relaxed that you got the kids tucked in and just you know, that you can just relax a little bit more now? I'm sure that's just a common question.
Yeah, you know, I've had a relatively good week. Last Wednesday, I had a good conversation with Mouse Mom after our chat on Tuesday night. She and I connected on Wednesday. Yeah, we had a nice long chat and talked about a lot of things and our symptom set is like identical. And a lot of the stresses in our lives that we feel being moms and having husbands who travel, the multitasking, the constant worry, and just the understanding, like I have always had this monkey mind of worry in my life. I always thought it was just normal and part of being human. But this TMS learning has really helped me understand that that's not a healthy or normal thing to do.
That's so wonderful. Yeah.
So I've really tried to be more conscious. And this is something I have known about consciousness for the last 2 years, and it hasn't sunk in. And I thought I was doing it and still couldn't do it. And I think I also just listened again to Steve O's chat with Emmett Miller. And it reminded me of... it was being a process, and I get very frustrated with myself when I'm not, like, I wake up in the morning and I'm not symptom free. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And then I worry, like, well, maybe it's something else. This isn't it, and I'm not doing it right. And so I've really tried to just be patient and be calm. And it's, you know, something that Alan Gordon talks about, and soothing myself. Well, I'll do it in snippets, and I've just tried to be repeated. Just try to repeat it and just stop. Go back to being calm and releasing those anxious thoughts. And Steve was also, he's mentioned a lot about Emmett Miller and how his recordings have helped him, helped him through his recovery. And so I've done some of those meditations and to hear some of his background on how anxiety comes into play has been very calming. So I've actually had a really, really good week. But all this meme talk is fascinating to me because it's such, I get bombarded with this all the time, just like I'm sure everybody else do, but it's kind of fascinating, and I'm glad I had to read this again.
Whose recording was that? Who was that?
Emmett Miller.
Okay.
Who is somebody Steve O talks about. He had a radio interview with him on Emmett Miller's radio show.
And if you want to find it, I actually have the fast way to find it. We have a special search engine here just for TMS. Whenever you want to find something in TMS, you just type it in. It uses Google technology. The first thing that pops up if you type Ozanich and Miller in there is that very interview. You just go to search.tmswiki.org. It's just like Google. Again, the web address is search.tmswiki.org, and you type in what you're looking for, and you're going to find it pretty quickly. And if you don't, send me an email, and I'll fix it.
Thanks, Boris.
Sure.
Yeah, back to Joan's question about is the severity of the pain, TMS pain, denote the severity of the emotional underlying thing? I don't know. I thought of an answer for that. Dr. Sarno says we'll probably never know, and not in our lifetime, how this works. So I think the answer is don't worry about getting the answer to that. I'd say try to live your daily life, keeping your rage reservoir. When you start feeling uptight, try to do something for yourself, take a nap, walk around the block, have an ice cream sundae, whatever. Just say that I'm getting too wound up here. This isn't good for me. It's time for a time out and do something for me. And don't worry about the mechanics of TMS. It's benign. Keep it benign. Because if you don't, it could graduate into, maybe a more severe form of TMS. So when you feel it, say, okay, it's time to take a time out so that I don't escalate the level.
Thank you.
Right.
That was awesome. That was awesome from Panda Girl. That was awesome from Tennis Tom.
Yeah, and the two things that they both said kind of resonated. I liked both of what you said, and I liked how Panda Girl talked about kind of quieting the monkey mind, and realizing that all these negative thoughts that are in our heads, like they're not supposed to be there, and maybe that's what TMS is. It's a signal from our unconscious that too much of this is going on and it's boiled over, and now we need to learn to take a little bit better care of ourselves, and we don't have to be being mean to ourselves all the time, and we should be nice to ourselves. It's a nice message, and I think that when people can get that, I think that's just so important for TMS healing. Once you get that, your mind in the right state, I think that's when the body takes you to a better place.
I totally agree with that.
Uh-huh. Oh. Yep.
Anybody else got anything to say? It's going on an hour and a half, so we was going to wrap it up. Everything's going great. Everything's going good, so we can keep it rolling. If anybody else has anything to add to what we've been saying.
There's a biggie. I think it stems from what the Romantics noticed, the fundamental disconnect in this society between man and nature. I know if you're backpacking in the Cascades and you've got to hike 10 miles the next day, you don't wake up in the morning early in the morning with anxiety. You want to get a lot of sleep because you're tired. You don't have room for those kind of worries, because you've got to shoulder a pack the next day and hike 10 miles. So you want to get all the sleep you can get. You don't get that luxury of having these ghosts or representations of fundamental anxieties in your head, dreams, bad dreams or things. But that's
so
a whole, that's
present,
a great big issue.
That was awesome, Bruce. So the four said, stay in the present and keep it clean.
Exactly.
Clean thinking. I like that. That's awesome. Okay, guys. I'm going to call it a night. Is everybody okay with that? Because everybody's here. Everybody's here to learn. Everybody's here to.
I heard some good stuff tonight. Thank you,
well,
guys.
Thank you, Jay. Good. And I just wanted to say to everybody, thank you, Jay. Thank you, Enjoy, for powerful messages each time. Bruce, thank you for your summary and your powerful messages. Forrest, you're always great at what you do, buddy. Panda Girl fired it up again this week. She told us a lot of wisdom, and Wavy
Soul came
on here.
Thank you so much for jumping in, Mandy.
Yeah, yeah. And Wavy Soul came on here, and we're glad, you know, or Katie, we're glad you got to get here. And we had a couple of new guys here, Ryan and Gary. Guys, we know you there, and we're glad you got to listen in. And Jersey Joan, thank you for showing up, Jersey Joan. It was an awesome night. And if anybody missed anything, just listen to the recording on Thursdays. And God bless y'all. Y'all have a good week. And keep those memes at bay, okay?
Thanks, Ruby. Thanks, Forrest.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Ruby, for a great job.
Tom, super tonight, guys.